Namaste. Would any of you like to volunteer to tell the Dhyana Shloka? Parvati Natraj? I think you've muted yourself.
Hari Om, ma'am.
Hari Om. Would you like to chant Dhyana Shloka?
Yeah. Yes.
Please.
Yes, ma'am. I will.
Yeah.
Om. पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयः प्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकः केशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानककेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरहः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजं कलिमल प्रध्वंसिनः श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्कुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः हरि ओम्
हरि ओम् धन्यवादः नेक्स्ट् टैम् ऐ थिङ्क् मोहन यु हेड् रेस्ड् युर् हेण्ड् यु केन् डू इट् नेक्स्ट् टैम् दट् विल् बी I think the week after 18th or something, 2 weeks, we are not having class. But if you're around, definitely you can chant next time.
Dhanyavadaha, ma'am.
Dhanyavada. Okay, we'll just start. Give me 2 minutes. सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ परं वरिष्ठं ब्रह्मिष्टं परमानन्दरूपिणम् परमार्थनन्दयतिं सद्गुरुं प्रणतोऽस्म्यहम्। So in these verses of the 5th chapter that we are seeing now, starting from 13th verse onwards, Krishna is speaking about Jnana Yoga that is to be implemented by a senior Vedantic student who has gone through sufficient study of Vedanta to understand the teaching of the Shastra, right? So the last class we are pointing out that in the vision of the Shastra, every individual living being, every one of us is a mixture of Ahankara and Atma. The other way of representing it is Atma and Anatma. Ahankara being the inferior nature and Atma being our superior nature, right? So everyone is a mixture of the two, and all transactions are possible only when both of them are available. And having understood both these components of our personality, we will be able to claim the higher nature with through Jnana Yoga, right? So our aim is gradually shifting our identification to our higher nature of Atma, claiming I am the Atma and learning to use the Ahankara as a costume, right, or a uniform for worldly transactions. You can also use the example of that, the beggar role that we play in a movie. If there's an actor, took the example of say someone like Amitabh Bachchan, right? So as long as we remember that it is a role and we are actually using the Ahankara uniform, right? And during deep sleep state, what happens? We don't have the Ahankara. We do not connect ourselves with the Ahankara. So we don't do any transactions also, right? So one important point that we have to remember is Ahankara has two meanings. So in the Vedantic context, Ahankara means what we are just speaking about, right? Which is the non-Atma nature, non-essential nature. But in the Dharma Shastra, right, there is a different Ahankara that refers to pride or arrogance, right? So we must remember that here it is our body, mind, ego, that complex, which is referred to as Ahankara, right? So other than the body, mind complex, we have Atma, the consciousness principle. And just like sunlight, which is lending, that is sun, which is lending light to the moon, this Atma, the consciousness principle, is the spiritual essence, which is also lending consciousness to our otherwise jadam body mind complex, right? So you must you might recall that in Tattva Bodha we saw that just like body is made of panchabhuta, right, even the sukshma shariram is made up of panchabhuta only, which is our mind, right, our sense organs, except that it is more sukshma, that means subtler than the gross body, but that is also panchabhautikam only, right? So when I am in the journey of jnana yoga, ahankara is very useful. Why? Using the ahankara only, I can go through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all of them. And I have to use the ahankara and claim my higher nature, right? As long as I take myself to be the individuality, right, then the body is never secure, the ahankara is never secure, right? Because we are attached to the role that we play, right? So whether it is money, health, right, or relatives, whatever it is, we do not have control on any of these things, right? Because we can only influence it to a certain extent. And if we start identifying ourselves with the ahankara, then the problem will be that we will get too carried away by the role that we play, right? And we lose sight of the higher nature, essential nature, atma, which is purnaha at all times, right? Very, very important. And a jnana yogi accepts this nature of ahankara, right, that it is transient, it will change, right, there will be, we saw atriptikaratvam, bandhakatvam, etc. in the last class, right? So he relies more upon his, he relies totally upon his higher real I for peace, security and happiness. For entertainment, variety, novelty, he will depend on the external world, right? So our higher nature is called Brahma Swarupam, which is Nirdosham, free from all problems, right? Whichever Ahankara is subjected to, right? Ahankara will never have a smooth life because there will be ups and downs which come in because of Prarabdha. Its very nature is influenced by Prarabdha, right? So, in fact, we saw in the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, about Atma's features, and we also saw that Achedyoyam, right, that it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be vetted, nothing can happen to the Atma, right? So, even when we speak about, say, Rahu Dasha and Shani Dasha, and this Dasha is not alright, that Dasha is not alright, what is happening is, these are all impacting only the Ahankara, not the Atma, right? So we should, once we claim the Atma, regardless of whatever the planetary movements are, because obviously the maximum favorable dasha that one can have is 20 years, right? That is maximum, assuming that everything goes well during the 20 years. So if you are not getting attached to the Ahankara, the planetary cycle will not affect you when you claim the higher nature Atma, right? So, tasmat brahmani. So, we were speaking about that in the last class. Those jnana yogis abide in their higher nature and transact in the world with ahankara as a costume or a vesha. They never take the vesham or the role to be themselves. Continuing. Na prahrishet priyam prapya. Na prahrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, stira buddhira sammoodah, stira buddhira sammoodah, brahma vid brahmani sthitah, brahma vid brahmani sthitah. So in these verses from 20 onwards, right, up to 23, Lord Krishna gives certain general instructions which are meant for a jnana yogi, and some of them are applicable to the karma yogi also, right? Very important instructions. Brahma vidh means the student of the Gita who has gathered the knowledge of Brahman or Atma, which is his own higher nature. As what we must remember, the five features of consciousness. When he understands that, right, then he is called a Brahmavid. And Thirabuddhihi, right, he has to make his knowledge free from all kinds of doubts. That is Thirabuddhihi. Because any knowledge can be disturbed by several questions. So a doubtful knowledge is as good as ignorance. He should have conviction in whatever he has learnt, right? Therefore, the scriptures point out, not only should I do Shravanam, but I should do Mananam also. Maybe I should use Mananam. So, a doubtful knowledge, as I said, is as good as, let me just check. Can you hear me? Because I just switched to my headphone. Can one of you tell me if you can hear me? Parvati, can you hear me? Mohana? Okay. Achala says she can hear me. Okay, fine. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so therefore the scripture points out that, right, for a sthira buddhi, you should have a very firm knowledge, right? You should have conviction. So for that I should do mananam also. Mananam will remove all the doubts, either by self-study or by more study or by discussion with other students or by discussion with the guru. Then I should be convinced about the teaching, and that Satcha Jnana Yogi is called Sthira Buddhi. Right? Here the word Buddhi means Jnanam. Right? Sthira Jnanam. Or in the second chapter we studied about one term. What was that? Sthita Prajna. Right? So Sthita Prajnasya Kha Bhasha. Arjuna asked Krishna, right? How does he walk? How does he stand, sit and all, right? So, we saw towards the end of the second chapter, right? So, we have got several scriptural texts, and even though all the scriptural texts are talking about the same themes only, we have so many varieties. So, we can read different texts. We can assimilate through Gita. We can assimilate through Upanishads, etc., right? So, whether I study, it doesn't matter which book I study, but through Shravanam, I get Brahmavid and Sthira Buddhihi through Mananam, right? So, a Jnana Yogi should become a Brahmavid through Shravanam, and Shravanam is the systematic study of the Vedantic scriptures for a length of time under a guidance of a competent guide, right? Through that, he becomes a Brahmavid. By raising questions and answering, I become Sthira Buddhi. And then the next one is asammoodaha, means free from delusion or mohaha, right? So, this old habit, right, that you are identifying with the ahankara all the time, it takes a while for us to reach the stage where we don't identify and it becomes our next second nature, right? So, that is actually referred to as sahaja samadhi. Whenever we are operating in this world, in the external world, always, constantly, we are able to invoke our higher nature. Jnanis are like that, right? Very, very important. What will initially happen is, when we come to the class, we'll be okay for 1 hour. After that, we will completely forget because the world and its problems catch up with us. So, that is called Viparita Bhavana, right? So, this Barbers Association example I gave is for Viparita Bhavana Nivritti, using Nididhyasana, right? So, asamudaha means getting out of the old habit of deha abhimana, right? Satcha Jnana Yogi will abide in his higher nature all the time, not forgetting his higher nature, right? So, they give several examples, like an actor playing different role. I gave you the example of that beggar role, how even they shed tears, right? As if it's so real, right? And he's getting paid for doing that role. And he knows that after that role, he is going to be someone different, right? So, This is called Sahaja Samadhi, right? Very, very important term, right? Which means it becomes his nature. And Swamiji actually gives a very nice example. He calls it the Kumbha dance, or you can even call it Karahattam in Tamil, right? So they have this pot on the head and they dance, and you know, in fact the dancer even will lie down on the floor and actually pick up something, but all the time that pot on the head, that center of gravity for the pot, that dancer will not forget, it will not fall, right? So like that, like the Tambura Shruti of the music, we should always be able to invoke the higher nature when we are operating in the normal sphere of life, right? So that is what is called Sahaja Samadhi, right? Very, very nice example that we can remember, right? So now the abidance is called Brahmanishta or Jnana Nishta, right? So in the second chapter, it was referred to as Brahmi Sthiti, right? That is what we called it, right? And here in the first line, Lord Krishna gives two tips for the Gita student, whether he is in the first level of Karma Yoga or whether he is in the Jnana Yoga level. Both junior as well as senior students must note the following. Lord Krishna says Priyam. Priyam means favorable condition, right? So physical level, body is healthy, and at family level, everyone is nice. At corporate level, everything is fine. At different levels, there will be favorable situation. We know that favorable situations are subject to arrival and departure, right? And it will get replaced by another unfavorable situation. So life is a continuous flow of favorable and unfavorable situations. So Lord Krishna said in the second chapter, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, right? Not for one person or two persons, right? For every one of us will have to go through ups and downs. This is the nature of life. So we see that even Rama Avatara and Krishna Avatara, they've had their own problems once they come down to and take Avatara, right? Lord Krishna's birth itself was in the jail, right? So if Avataras cannot escape, what to talk about ordinary human beings, right? Therefore, you have to put on a helmet. Just as the two-wheelers wear a helmet and ride, right? And what is that helmet? The powerful emotional helmet is the Shravanam and Mananam, right? It helps us develop endurance or Titiksha. For those of you who remember Tattva Bodha, we studied about Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi, and Titiksha was one of the six values that was mentioned there, right? For a Vedantic student, right? So, we can develop endurance power to accept and go through choiceless and unfavorable situations, right? So, we should never allow anything to sway our mind too much. Too much of a pleasure or, you know, that jubilance, as well as any sadness or problem, right? So, we have an emotional protection from all of that, right? So, now, if there is an emotional problem, it will start preoccupying the mind, and a preoccupied mind is not ready for Jnana Yoga. That is the problem, right? So, therefore, if Jnana Yoga must be effective, we should have a lot of endurance. So, Lord Krishna calls it I don't know whether you remember Titikshasva Bharata. Therefore, he says Priyam Prapya here. So, when favorable situations come, don't get over elated. Enjoy them. Nothing wrong. Remember that everything is subject to arrival and departure. Therefore, don't get carried away by the favorable situations. Let it be a controlled enjoyment. Therefore, Priyam Prapya, right? Very, very important. Priyam Prapya Na Prahrishye, right? Apriyam Prapya. You can understand when the unfavorable situations come, no dvijay, don't go into extreme depressions, right? So remember, if unfavorable situation has come, this is a very nice attitude. If an unfavorable situation has come, this, with the same logic, favorable situation will also come. So it is better to go through with it without too much of resistance, right? Endurance helps us take this attitude also towards life, right? So Karma Yoga also emphasizes Samatvam. Jnana Yoga also emphasizes samatvam, right? So one of the most important messages of the Gita is equanimity, called yogaha. This is required for both the junior student as well as senior student, right? So the meaning of the shloka is, facing the pleasant, he is not elated. Facing the unpleasant, he is not depressed. A knower of Brahman is firm in knowledge, free from delusion, and is established in Brahman. Bahyasparsheshvasaktatma, Bahyasparsheshvasaktatma, Vindatyatmani yatsukam, Sabrahma yoga yuktatma, Sabrahma yoga yuktatma, Sukamakshayam ashnute, Sukamakshayam ashnute. So one of the principles of spirituality or spiritual life is to depend less and less on external factors for your peace, security and happiness. So learn to depend more and more on yourself, right? As Swamiji says, from world dependence to God dependence to self dependence is the spiritual journey, right? So because the world is unpredictable, world is uncontrollable, even when everything is favorable, you cannot sustain it all the time, right? That is also subject to change. Therefore, instead of relying upon the unreliable external world, shift your reliance upon, right? Shift your dependence to God, right? You will see that more and more from the 7th chapter onwards, right? Lord Krishna will repeatedly say, don't even depend on your own family members. Your own children will be there or not in your old age. We don't know, right? We may spend everything for the sake of children, right? We must only do it as our duty without any expectation, right? So whether they will be around, whether they will take care of us, we don't know, right? So he says, Lord Krishna repeatedly says, don't rely upon anybody for that matter, right? If anybody asks who is your support, learn to claim God is my support, right? We have to practice that. Thereafter, Lord Krishna will say that God is not somewhere, but that God happens to be your own higher nature. And when I discover God as my own very self, the God dependence will become self-dependence. What a beautiful journey. From world dependence to God dependence to realizing the God is in the self, so self-dependence, right? So that is the spiritual journey, right? So greatest advantage is, once I depend upon myself, arrival and departure of things, people and situation will not perturb me, right? And also, we should learn to lead a relatively simpler life. Why? Because I talked about port, right? Possessions, obligatory duties, relationships and transactions, right? Port reduction is very, very important. So, in order to reduce port, right? Port is nothing but all of our properties, possessions, etc. So that we can keep it simple. So that we will have more time for mananam and nididhyasanam, right? Other than shravanam, right? So, without trying to get happiness from external sensory objects, right? We try to get the happiness by realizing the self, right? Very, very important. So, our scriptures say that contentment itself can give a happiness which is much higher than the happiness of external things, right? The ananda born out of contentment, right? Very interesting, is 16 times greater than the ananda given by all pleasures of this world and the other world, right? Now, if you see, all the sages lived in Parnashala and they enjoyed life, right? And they had a contented life. So, self-knowledge can give a joy which is greater than the joy coming from the world. Right, so this is called Vairagya Ananda or Vidyananda. Right, interestingly, in Taittiriya Upanishad 2nd chapter, there's an exclusive section in where it compares the Ananda of the different worlds. Manushyananda, Gandharvananda, then Devaloka, every loka is compared. And then it will tell you how 10 times, 100 times, 1000 times the happiness is manifold in each of the lokas, right? And then it will talk about how self, the realization Ananda is the most supreme, right? Paramam. So, that is what Krishna says here, right? Says the proof is, how, what is the proof? Every jnani who has renounced everything and lives under a tree without a home for himself, right? In our culture, so many Mahatmas are there. They possess nothing, right? They only have maybe one pair of clothes to change and they just eat wherever they go, whatever they get, right? So, there is no ananda from outside. They are able to get their ananda from within, right? So, such jnanis are there, right? So, it requires a lot of courage, right? Because the world will constantly say, without them your life is not made, right? We should not fall victim. So Lord Krishna is actually giving a promise. Bahya sparshesu, a person whose mind is detached from the external objects of the world. Bahya sparsha means external sense pleasures, right? If one who is detached will have contentment and that will be a source of joy, right? Brahma yoga yuktatma, the one who has discovered his higher nature, right? Or who has Brahma Jnanam or Brahma Nishta, Yukta Atma. The word Atma refers to the mind here in both the lines, right? Very important. So the one who is blessed with contentment and spiritual knowledge, Yat Sukham Ashnute, right? A person contains infinite Ananda, right? So the very interestingly, the Ananda that comes from the external objects will give a kick on the first day, right? Second day, the pleasure comes down a little. Then you will find there is diminishing returns, right? Thereafter, we may even want to get rid of the object, right? It happens, right? So, or in, we are ready for the next higher thing, we have forgotten about this and we moved on. Because it is a shifting goalpost, right? So, contentment and knowledge can give ananda, which is superior to sense pleasures. This is the message of this verse, right? So, one whose mind is not engaged in external objects attains that ananda which is in the atma. He whose mind is engaged in the meditation of Brahman attains lasting ananda. Continuing. Ehi samsparshaja bhogaha. Ehi samsparshaja bhogaha. Dukkha. Dukkayonaya evate, dukkayonaya evate, adyantavanta kaunteya, adyantavanta kaunteya, nate shuramate buddha, nate shuramate buddha. So Lord Krishna is comparing and contrasting ananda or happiness coming from external objects. Right? In Vedanta, it is called Vishayananda, right? So, the ananda coming from the contentment and knowledge, right, which is coming from myself is called Atmananda, right? Vishayananda and Atmananda. So, the first difference we already saw, it was pointed out in verse 21, right? What is the difference? Vishayananda is finite. It will get gradually diluted also. Whereas, Atmananda is not finite, but it is infinite. One is Anityam, another is Nityam. That is the first difference. Then in this shloka, Lord Krishna gives the second difference. What is that? Vishyananda, there is a, has, definitely it will give pleasure from external object, but it has got adverse consequence, like certain powerful drugs, right? What is it? I get enslaved and without them I cannot imagine having a life. Take the example of our mobile phone. Few years back there was no mobile phone, right? None of us had a mobile phone. Today we can't even think of living without a mobile phone, right? It is, if somebody doesn't have connectivity for half an hour, everybody panics, right? And because of that attachment, if there is no fault or no
SMS, we start getting worried automatically, right? So the problem with any of these Vishayananda is that it has this enslaving or bondage creating tendency, right? Very, very important. It then later becomes even a addiction, right? And it causes intense pain. The separation will cause intense pain also. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha. All the worldly jobs caused by union or association, right, which are born out of this, dukkha yonaya evate, all of them will be the cause of sorrow when they leave us. They need not even leave us. The very thought will cause insecurity and anxiety, right? That's why you find greater the attachment, greater the imaginary fear also, right? When a family member comes home late but does not give us information, right? They will use the mobile for everything, but they will forget to give us this useful information, right? So what happens? We start thinking about all unwanted things immediately. Greater the attachment, directly proportional is the anxiety level also, right? So Krishna says that all sources of varieties of emotional pains, right? Loving the people and all, wonderful. Help the people, but never get attached. That is the message, because greater the attachment, greater the pain, right? Yoni means cause and dukkha means the cause of pain. Adhyantavanta Kaunteya, all of them are finite in nature. They are subject to arrival and departure. Therefore, na cheshu, an intelligent person never gets carried away by them, right? Remember, they don't revel in them. Now, there's a difference between enjoyment and revelry. Enjoyment is controlled. Revelry is getting lost. It's like fast driving and rash driving, right? That's the difference, right? And in the one, there is control. In the other, there is no control, right? Budaha na ramate, right? Interestingly, Lord Krishna uses the word ramate. In Sanskrit, it is derived from the word ram. So, some people may relate it with the English ram, right? But ramate is revelry coming from the root ram, right? So, which means that it is uncontrolled enjoyment, right? So, enjoy pleasures, nothing wrong, but punyam, remember that punyam will bring favorable situations, but never get carried away. Life is a continuous flow of favorable and unfavorable situations, right? And a buddha, such a wise person, makes an intelligent use of this, right? So when favorable situation comes, an intelligent person will develop what? Raga. Says life is wonderful, everything is great, right? Bhagavan is great, everything is great. When the unfavorable situation comes, he goes to the other extreme and he hates everything. He says life is terrible, Bhagavan is terrible, God is unfair, right, etc. So a jnani makes a slight difference here, right? He says, since life has favorable situations, it means life does not deserve hatred. Since it has favorable situations, it does not deserve hatred. Since life has got unfavorable situation also, life does not deserve attachment. So he changes it a little bit, right? Therefore, a wise man uses unfavorable situations to avoid attachment, and he uses favorable situations to avoid dvesha, right? So no raga, no dvesha. Use the situation to avoid raga dvesha rather than develop raga dvesha. So, O Arjuna, those pleasures that are born out of contact are indeed sources of sorrow only, because they have a beginning and an end. So the wise person does not revel in them, right? Continuing. Shaknoti haiva yasodum, shaknoti haiva yasodum, praksharira vimokshanat, praksharira vimokshanat, kama krododbhavam vegam, kama krododbhavam vegam, sayuktasya sukhinarah, sayuktasya sukhinarah. Now, if we have understood this principle that I will have a backup Atmananda and I will enjoy legitimate and moral sense pleasures of the world while they are available, right? If I have decided to have that, then the question is, how do I get jnanam and vairagyam, which are the methods of tapping Atmananda? So Lord Krishna says a person can get jnanam and vairagyam, but for that there are two very powerful obstacles. These two obstacles are inborn obstacles. Look at how much of analysis Krishna must have done and spoken about this. And when I start relating to this in the material world, it is absolutely on dot, right? Two obstacles. Which are the two obstacles? Kama and Krodha. Desire and anger, right? These two are universal because every human being is born with Ichcha Shakti, right? We have, obviously we all know that we have three Shaktis, Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Goddess is also known by these, right? And when we see our neighbor having something, we also desire to have that. So it starts with a child. One child has an iPad, the other child wants to have the iPad, right? That is desire, right? So we have a great potential for developing desire. This you cannot help because Ichcha Shakti is inbuilt. Similarly, the second problem is what? Krodaha. Because our intellect forms definite opinions, right, regarding what is right, what is wrong. So this judgmental intellect is experiencing the world. So whenever people behave in a particular manner, which is wrong according to my norms, immediately the intellect disapproves of that behavior. So if one person comes late, right, then some of us get very upset. If we are punctual people, right? So, and when we are discussing something seriously, somebody gets distracted. We get upset about these, right? So the intellect forms an idea about what is right and what is wrong, what is proper and improper, right? And when I confront something which is wrong according to me, it disturbs me and then the mind disapproves that. Strong disapproval is anger. When the disapproval becomes so powerful that I impulsively react to the situation. Therefore, anger is also inbuilt wherever judging intellect is there, anger is inevitable, right? Because the human intellect is subject to judging, kama and krodha are universal issues. And just being aware of this fact itself creates certain level of mindfulness. Because we know, once you study this again and again, we know that some of these are instinctive, and because our intellect is judging, it is becoming more difficult, right? The very fact that we are aware of it leads us to be more conscious and sensitive to this particular aspect of kamaha and krodaha, right? So some desires are instinctive desires which are developed through purva janma vasana, right? And some of them are based on what we see, what we grow up with, the context, right? So, if I don't know how to handle kama krodha, because Bhagavan has given me kama and krodha, Bhagavan has also given us free will, right, to handle them. Then, you should not allow them to become powerful because they will suppress and destroy me, right? So, third chapter, if you remember, we had one shloka on Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha, right? So, these are two powerful enemies of spiritual seekers, and Krishna elaborately discussed how they develop. The set of four to six shlokas were there, you can see that, right? So, the details were there in the third chapter. Lord Krishna is hinting at it there. What does Lord Krishna say? Let them arrive in your mind, right? You cannot control. Arrival of desire and arrival of anger, no human being can control because it is common to all of them. Even gods have anger, right? So, Lord Krishna says they will arrive. But what is important is don't allow them to overpower you, right? Lead it to impulsive response. Never allow them to take control of you, right? So, it is very, very important. Learn to process both of them in your own mind. Kama and Krodha, desire and anger. And then ask the question, should I express them or not? If it is Kama, desire, should I fulfill it or not? Is it an ethical desire? Is it a legitimate desire? If it is illegitimate, have the capacity to nip it in the bud. Develop that capacity, right? Even before it is expressed. Similarly, anger also. Before expression, I should ask the question, right? Should I punish? Should I dismiss the person, right? All these we should think, and I should have self-control to think that much, right? So, don't become a slave of kama and krodha. It's not that you should not take action, but it should be a decisive action which you're taking after considering all of this and not impulsive, right? That's all is being said here, right? So, look at the shloka here, the second line. Kama krodha krodot bhavam vegam means impulse, force, power, right? So, Dayananda Swamiji uses the word pressure. The pressure caused by kama and krodha, the internal pressure, learn to control. Don't act, right? Keep cool, right? Pranayama helps here, actually, right? So that your breathing will slow down and therefore you will get some time, right? Even a matter of few seconds make a difference. So, keep both of them within your mind and let them out only after analyzing thoroughly. Anger can be expressed, but deliberately after analyzing how much anger should be expressed. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Yaha, that Gita student, right? It is a very important lesson for the Gita student. Even though Krishna has talked about it in the third chapter, he is repeating it in the fifth chapter, right? The one who, and he says in the morning, it is better to read these shlokas and remember, right? So, the one who has self-control for what? To manage what? The vegam, the pressure, born out of kama krodha udbhavam. One who has the capacity to control or manage the pressure born out of kama and krodha, right? You take your time. Maybe one janma, it can even be multiple janma, right? But it can be a lifelong project. So, when we grow old and our body becomes weaker, we become more helpless and anger actually starts increasing. So, therefore, Lord Krishna says, lifelong alertness is involved, right? Sharira vimokshanat, right? So, Lord Krishna does not say one who is free from anger. He does not say. He says, one, you learn to manage your anger, right? Yaha sodum shaknoti, saha yuktaha. Such a person of discipline, right? Actually, there are many disciplinarians who want to discipline other people, but they cannot control their own anger. That is the problem, right? So, first I should learn to discipline my mind. Therefore, saha yuktaha. He is a person of spiritual discipline. Saha sukhi naraha. That person alone enjoys mental peace and joy. What is meant by that? Equanimity of the mind, right? Sensitivity of the mind to know others' feelings. That's a wonderful virtue actually. Some people have it by nature, right? But otherwise you should develop that. Actually, Krishna will speak about filters for speaking also. So, once you have all these filters and you are aware of your anger, etc., then you would actually become more sensitive to other people's needs. Right? It happens automatically, right? So, this sensitivity I normally lose in anger, right? And the last one, what happens? I lose my savadanatvam. Savadanatvam is thoughtful action becomes destroyed because of impulsive action, right? Therefore, this person loses peace of mind. Not only he loses peace of mind, everybody in the house, office, everywhere, they will all lose peace of mind. When this person comes, everybody will be like in attention and they will be so scared. And when the person leaves, everybody will be happy thereafter, right? So, we don't want to be such a person, right? So, that person is a human being who is a yuktaha, right? Who is able to be sensitive and is able to manage his anger, right? So, if a person does not know how to manage, Krishna says he is not even a human being, right? Because his rage is worse than any brute, right? So, saha sukhi, saha naraha. Whereas on the opposite side end, a person who is able to manage this is a peaceful, happy soul. So, that person who is able to manage the impulse born of desire and anger here itself, before the fall of body, right? Even at least before the fall of the body, is disciplined and he is happy, right? Continuing, yontas sukontararamah, yontas sukontararamah, tatantar jyotirevayah, tatantar jyotirevayah, sayogi brahma nirvanam, sayogi brahma nirvanam, brahma bhuto digacchati, brahma bhuto digacchati. Having given some general instructions, right, from 24 to 26, Lord Krishna wants to speak about the benefit of jnana vairagya prapti. And the benefit is technically called in Vedantic languages, jivan muktihi and videha muktihi, right? So, a jnani is one who has discovered the inner ananda coming from the atma, tapped through jnanam and vairagyam, born out of contentment. He does not miss anything in life, right? Whatever he has, he will enjoy them. So, he does not miss what he does not have. He has discovered Purnatvam within himself. So, there was a shloka in the third chapter. I don't know whether you remember this. It was 327. Yastvam atmarite revasyad atma triptascha manavah atmanyevacha santushtah tasya karyam na vidyate. Right? So, antasukha means this person has learned to be happy with himself or herself. He has learned to discover peace within himself, right? Atma is the source of arama, means peace, right? In Hindi, they have an expression, aram se, right? So, aram means peace. So, sukha means joy. So, tatantar jyoti reva yaha, one who has always awareness about his higher nature, even though during worldly transactions, he invokes his worldly roles as a father, mother, employer, employee, right? He uses his ahankara. But he remembers that worldly roles are only incidental and that is not an absolute role. And these incidental roles are subject to arrival and departure. And I am the Satchidananda Atma, the higher nature. He does not lose sight of that, right? So, Antara Jyoti means one who has the awareness with regard to his higher nature. Like an actor who is playing different roles, but never forgetting that he is an actor, right? So, Saha Yogi, that Jnana Yogi, here refers to Jnana Yogi Brahma Bhutaha, having claimed his higher nature, that Aham Brahmasmi, right? And you must always remember the features of Atma. When you say Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Atma, Atma's features are what? Satyaha, Nityaha, Akarta, Abokta, Sarvagataha, Aprameyaha. They are all descriptions of Atma. And in the seventh chapter, they will be put together and called Brahman. Atma and Brahman are essentially the same, right? So, Brahman Bhutaha, having claimed his oneness with Brahman, right? After death or fall of the body, the jnani becomes one with the Brahman or Ishvara. He enjoys the union with Ishvara while living also, right? So, he will have his union with Ishvara after death. The first one is called Jivan Muktihi, right? While living, liberated. Later one is called Videha Muktihi, which is after the lifetime of the jnani. So, that yogi whose happiness is within and whose recreation is within and whose vision is within has become a Brahman while living and attains oneness with Brahman after death. Continuing, labhante brahma nirvanam, labhante brahma nirvanam, rishayakshina kalmashah, rishayakshina kalmashah, chinnadvaidhayatatmanah, chinnadvaidhayatatmanah, sarvabhuta hiteratah, sarvabhuta hiteratah. This very beautiful shloka, Lord Krishna talks about the entire range of the sadhanas. that a spiritual seeker should go through the rest of his life. First one is Sarva Bhuta Hiterataha. A life of karma yoga in which I learn to contribute to the surrounding infrastructure. Right? We discussed Panchamaha Yajna. I should ask the question, first of all, how do I contribute to my family? Family is my first infrastructure. Therefore, what do I contribute? My parents have contributed to me. Do I take care of parents, right? In-laws, parents. Do I, right, take care of the parents, the children, right? So, family is the first infrastructure, right? Then, next is religion, right? Then, educational institutions. Then, environment, right? I should deliberately contribute to my environment, right? And before I die, I should have given more than what I have taken through effort, physically, through money, all of this, right? So, this is called Panchamaha Yajna. Lord Krishna refers here as Sarva Bhuta Hiterataha, right? Do good to others. So, here Bhuta means human beings, animals and plants, right? And then the next step is Sheena Kalmashaha, right? Consequent to my contribution, my mental impurity in the form of selfishness will come down, right? Selfishness is the fundamental impurity. So, selflessness is purity. Therefore, Sheena Kalmashaha, impurity comes down, Raga Dvesha comes down, and my control over Kama and Krodha of the previous shloka increases, right? I am able to filter moral desires and immoral desires, and I am able to drop immoral desires as even they arise, right? I throw them away, right? I legitimately fulfill the moral desires, right? So, Kama and Krodha are primary impurity, right? I reduce this through Karma Yoga. Then the next stage is Yatatmanaha in the second line. I learn to master my personality. I learn to control my body, my sense organs, my mind and my intellect, right? So, I have to learn to discipline. So, the physical discipline starts first of all with getting up early, right? Then Krishna says overeating is indiscipline, oversleeping is indiscipline, overacting is indiscipline, workaholism is indiscipline, right? So, everybody, I should have control, right? So, every part of the body, whether it is tongue, whether it is sense organs, mind, any of these, right? I should have control, right? This is the next stage. So, Ashtanga Yoga is meant for this purpose, Yatatmanaha. Next stage is Rishayaha. Rishayaha here is gaining knowledge of the scriptures through Shravanam, right? Consistent and systematic study and then Mananam, right? As well as Nididhyasanam. So, Rishayaha means Jnana Yogi Bhutva, right? To study the scriptures and know the Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. This is the next stage, Shravanam. And then after that, you have Dvaita. During Shravanam and part of Mananam also, you still have Dvaita and you are still battling with it and you are trying to remove the doubts, right? So, doubt regarding what? The teaching of the scriptures. I am different from God or am I part of God? Vishishta Dvaita, right? Am I one with God, right? All these questions can arise and will arise. Why did creation come? How did it come? All these doubts will be there. Then, Chinna Dvaita means Nishamsaya Jnanam. Right? Through Mananam, I remove all the doubts, right? And this should include Nididhyasanam also, but Lord Krishna does not mention Nididhyasanam here. Why? Because the next chapter that's going to come up, sixth chapter, is going to focus on Vedantic meditation exclusively, right? So, therefore, he does not mention, but we have to include Vedantic meditation also. A person, Brahma Nirvanam Labante. Such a person will attain merger with Brahman. So, Nirvana means Aikyam. Just going through all these stages, a person merges into Brahman while living itself as a Jivan Muktaha. Later, he becomes Videha Muktaha. So, the sages who are free from impurities, who are self-restrained, who are interested in the welfare of all beings and whose doubts are dispelled, attain oneness with Brahman. Continuing, Kama Krodha Viyuktanam, Kama Krodha Viyuktanam. ಸ್ಥಾನಾಂ ಯತೀನಾಂ ಯತ ಚೇತಸಾಂ ಯತೀನಾಂ ಯತ ಚೇತಸಾಂ ಅಭಿತೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಿರ್ವಾಣಂ ಅಭಿತೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಿರ್ವಾಣಂ ವರ್ತತೆ ವಿದಿತಾತ್ಮನಾಂ ವರ್ತತೆ ವಿದಿತಾತ್ಮನಾಂ. ನೌ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಸೀಕರ್ಸ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾಲ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ದ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ನೇಮ್ ಯತಿ ಯತೀನಾಂ. ರೈಟ್, ದ ಲಿಟ್ರಲ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಯತಿ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿ. ರೈಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಯೂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಆಶ್ರಮಸ್, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚರ್ಯ, ಗೃಹಸ್ಥ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾನಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ, ದ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೆವರಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಲಿ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್. ಸೊ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಯೂಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಅಲಾಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಲಿ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆಶ್ರಮ, ಮೊನಾಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಲಿ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಕಮಿಟ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ರೈಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ಸಚ್ ಸೀಕರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಯತಿಹಿ. ರೈಟ್, ಸೊ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಯತಿಹಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ that you are you work with commitment, sincerity and focus. The one who works with commitment, sincerity and focus. So grihasthashrami can also be called a yati if a person becomes sincere, committed and a focused seeker. Then a householder can be called so. Right, so therefore yati naam, the committed seekers go through three stages of sadhana. The first stage of karma yoga indicated by the word kama krodha viyuktanam. Right, karma yoga is an important stage of life in which I learn to manage my desire and anger. Right, so kama krodha can lead to wrong actions. Right, so we saw that. So in karma yoga I learn to manage the kama krodha by practicing self restraint. Right, so I avoid immoral actions also. Right, and I also avoid injurious actions. Right, so kama krodha management or raga dvesha management is the goal of karma yoga. Right, so those sincere seekers who are free from the grip of anger and desire, who are not the slaves of kama krodha, this is the karma yoga stage of life. The next stage is upasana yoga stage called meditation, dhyana yoga, which we are going to see in detail. Through meditation, I practice integration of my personality, because meditation is an activity in which I require the cooperation of what the layers of my personality. We spoke about panchakosha and all, right? So all the layers have to work in an integrated manner, right? So first the physical body has to cooperate for sitting for some time. Then pranic personality must cooperate, right? We will see. In this chapter, the last few stanzas plus the next chapter, we will see a lot about this, right? So, the integration of the panchakosha. Do you remember annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya and anandamaya kosha, right? So, therefore, yata chetasam, right? Those people who have learned to manage their mind and thoughts by the practice of upasana yoga, this is the second stage, right? Thought management through meditation. Then yatishetasam, this is the second one, right? Then comes the third and final stage, viditatmana, right? A person has to go through jnana yoga stage of shavanam, mananam and nidityasanam for a length of time and with the help of a competent acharya. And I should also receive the teaching and I should have conviction in the teaching and I have to reflect on it. This is called viditatmana, right? So, through jnana yoga, they have gained the knowledge that they are not the body. The body is the medium through which I interact, not the mind. It's another medium, but I am the consciousness principle, right? So, the capacity to shift from the I, from the body-mind complex to the spiritual essence of myself, this shifting is called viditatmana, right? So, those who have practiced the jnana yoga for a considerable length of time, abhito brahma nirvanam vartate, right? Success in these three stages of sadhana, right? They are not optional. Lord Krishna does not ask us to choose anyone, right? We have to do all the three, right? Brahma nirvanam means once you cross the stage, oneness with Brahman is attained, right? He learns to claim that he is not the finite body. He is able to claim that he is the higher nature, right? Very, very important point, right? So, the difference between actually, if you see, a jnani also has difficulties, ajnani is also having difficulties, right? Both minds have problems, but in the case of jnani also, he will have family problems, health problems, etc., right? But he is always able to associate himself with his higher nature, and that is why he is called a jivan muktaha, right? So, and the second brahma nirvanam that he attains after the fall of the body is referred to as videha muktihi, right? So therefore he does not have punarapi jananam maranam cycle at all, right? So this is the result of what? The spiritual journey consisting of karma yoga, upasana yoga and jnana yoga, right? So oneness with Brahman takes place both here and hereafter for the self-restrained ones who are free from desire and anger, whose minds are restrained and who have known the Atma, right? Now, we have about two or three shlokas left. What we will do is, in the next class, I will do these three shlokas. Anyway, these three shlokas actually are in a way introduction to the sixth chapter, right? So, we will do those three shlokas and we will do the summary of the fifth chapter in the next class. And that class will be after 2 weeks, right? So, we will now tell Purnamada. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So there are no classes on 11th and 18th of August. On 25th of August, I will complete this and do a summary of chapter 5. And after that, we will start 6th chapter from the next week. So, are there any questions? Let me just check that. Yeah, there are a few questions. Okay, the words. Buddhi, manas, manaha, chitta, sthira buddhi are used several times in Bhagavad Gita. What is the meaning of these Sanskrit words in the context of Gita? That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Wherever, see, sometimes buddhi even refers to atma, sometimes it refers to intellect, etc. So, wherever the meaning is different, I'm trying to actually cover those meanings also. So, then and there. So, maybe we should, you know, make a table of how many times it is used for in different contexts. To represent different things. Buddhi especially you will see. Manaha, chittaha also can refer to different things. Sthira buddhi is sthita prajnasya, same thing. Sthita prajna, sthira buddhi, etc. are ones where the intellect is firm. Right? That's the same meaning. Right? If we believe in prarabdha and sanchita karma, then isn't the scope of free will very limited? Repeatedly this we have to understand, right? Now, there is agami karma also playing a role, right? We always forget agami karma, which is a result of the actions coming out of free will, right? So, sanchita karma is an ocean. A drop of that has fructified and has come up as prarabdha karma. So, as we are using our free will and are able to counter, right, the prarabdha, what happens is if the intelligence is in trying to work for moksha and actually making sure that there is no sanchita karma left, because that is an ocean, right? So as far as the prarabdha is concerned, it is a small fraction that has fructified, and agami karma is within our hands. Free will is absolutely within our hands to counter them. But we have to understand that, as Swamiji says, there are some diseases which are fatal, you cannot avoid, some which can be managed and some that can be prevented. So similarly, prarabdha results also come under various categories. So once we understand that and we are able to influence it with our free will, we must do our bit to influence and make sure that some of them are even neutralized, right? So do you recommend a specific Gita book to study as part of this course? Okay. Actually, the meanings that I am talking about with the word meanings are available as a series of books with Swamiji in Shastra Prakashika Trust. Right? I can put up the address. You can, you know, get them. But I am mostly copying the meaning from there and putting it in the slide. So you wouldn't need anything beyond that. Other than this, of course, Swamiji's, there are three books on Gita. Let me try and find out. It's part 1, 2 and 3. So I'll find out if we have copies of it and I will let you know. It's basically based on transcriptions. But there is also Swamiji's transcription available in arshaavinash.in. His Gita course transcription is available. You can take a look at it. You can download from arshaavinash.in. Let me see if there is anybody else. Yeah, I can see some hands up here. Once again, let me just switch on the Parvati Natraj. Yes, Parvati, you are self-muted.
Yeah. No, ma'am. By mistake, it has happened.
Okay, okay. Okay. So, there is no other hands up symbol here. Parvati, again, it's gone up. That's fine. Okay. And questions, I think I answered all of them. Yeah. Okay. So we one question here, please. Yeah.
You are saying that three will be limited. Three will also be unlimited to create more of positive.
Correct. Absolutely. So the question was on free will being limited. But free will is not limited. It is completely, it is manushya prayatnam. It is what we do. Right? So it is unlimited in a sense. So you can do whatever you need to do to for the whatever punyam or to counter. You could also spend time in prayachitta karma, which is to counter the prarabdha results, or you can get fresh punyam, right? So it is unlimited, right? So that was the question here. Okay. So dhanyavadaha. We will meet on 25th of August, Sunday.